I'm James, that's Katie, and of course, that makes this episode 44 of the Circles and Squares podcast. Kate, how are you on this fine Thursday afternoon?
I'm great. It's a nice, cold, rainy day, the perfect day to sit inside and play some games.
The perfect day for a nice evening coffee. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Kate, I'm actually not alone for my evening coffee this year, this episode, I should say.
Because this year. Once a year treat, well, you're not alone.
You know, yeah, 2021's my year, you know, that's what they say. But no, joining us this episode is our very special guest, a returning guest from an earlier episode, number 19 of the show. If you can imagine that, that's over half of our catalog since you've been on. But joining us once again from twitch.tv, it's Mike Del Monte, aka Mr. Del Monster. Welcome to the show, Mike. Welcome back. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Enjoying a forbidden evening coffee, as so many people
cheers
just can't
you
handle.
Yeah, yes, they just I'll can't do it. No, they're just not as powerful as we are, Mike. They got to come to terms with it. They got to understand.
I got to get on our levels, what they need to do.
Exactly, exactly. Michael, like I said, welcome to the show. You've been on before, but we've had a lot of episodes since then, and honestly, the show has changed quite a bit. So just give our listeners, I guess, if they've not become familiar with you so far, what is it that you do? Who are you? What are you up to?
So I recently started streaming on Twitch. Twitch.tv/MrDelMonster is the name. I'm sure you could find me linked on one of these lovely people's podcasts in the past. But I like to stream pretty much anything that I'm playing. I think I did some Hades, played some Death's Door. I just started some fun new games that we're going to talk about on the podcast. I just kind of stream for fun, and it's just become a hobby. And I hit 50 followers and affiliate last week.
So congratulations, man.
We're getting moving. We're getting moving. It's only been like maybe a month and a half, 2 months. So the growth is huge.
I was going to say that sounds like pretty impressive to me, honestly. Like, I know a lot of people don't really ever get to that kind of affiliate status. So like, congratulations, man. That's a big accomplishment.
Thank you. I've certainly had a lot of help on the way. Like, I know that you guys have given me some good plugs, and a good friend of the show, Jazz, has been spreading the word, as he usually does. So I'm thankful for everybody that's been helping me out, and we're going to see where this thing goes. Like, I have no idea. The sky's the limit, I guess.
The sky's the limit, as they say. And just before we move on from this little section, I heard you have an upcoming project to do with Dark Souls, Kate. Maybe, does that interest you at all? What's going on with that?
Oh, you know, I'm known to occasionally partake in some Dark Souls. yeah, Mike, please, I've been waiting for someone who will talk to me about some Souls games on this channel, because we got a little bit of a hater over here. Or maybe not a hater, but just someone who doesn't really appreciate the finer things in life.
Look, man, you guys are hating on easy. Me, is what it is.
He likes easy games.
Oh, man. What's wrong with a good unpacking? What's wrong with that, man? I'll tell you guys about that in a little bit, man.
Nothing at all.
Right. Okay. Well, enough of this, guys. You know, let's move along a little bit. We have a show to get to. Of course, the way it'll go today, as usual, we'll spend the first half of the show talking about the games we have been playing. And then for the second half of the show, I'm going head to head with Mr. Del Monster himself in a fun trivia quiz prepared by Kate. We have no idea what we're being quizzed on or how that's going to go. So we'll wait and see how that goes in the second half of the show. And, you know, judging by Kate's reaction, looks like it's going to be a good one.
I've heard it's ridiculous.
It's some more quality work. It's up to our typical quiz standard, I would say. So you can interpret that how you will.
Sure, this is great. Look forward to that later on, but let's get right into the games, Kate. Tell me about Dark. Finish your water.
That was a great time to take a sip. Okay. Well, you know, always hydrate. Stay hydrated. Tip one. So Dark it was actually a free game given out on Epic for around the Halloween time. And I'd never heard of it before, and looking into it, I'm so, so glad I picked it up. If you guys didn't pick it up for free, you're fools. But I would say it's definitely worth buying. So Dark is a physics-based puzzle game, and it's kind of got set in this like creepy atmospheric dreamscape. So if you're picturing in your mind, there's a very like Tim Burton-esque kind of art style that keeps it more interesting and like kind of oddly beautiful than scary. But the dreams that you go into that compose the levels in this game have this recurring motif of like disfigurement and hospital dressings. And so it still does manage to stay pretty unsettling despite walking that fine balance of like beautiful and gross. So the gameplay is pretty simple. All you can do in the game is you can walk left, you can walk right, and then you have a button to interact with various things in the environment. So that could be like flipping switches or picking up an item. And so it kind of functions like an escape room where you have to explore the level, find all the items, figure out, you know, how they work within the puzzles. And then eventually, once you've done everything, you unlock the exit and you get to go to the next level. Mm. So aside from the atmosphere, what is unique about Dark is kind of the central ability of the main character, Lloyd. You learn very quickly that you have very sticky feet. I don't know if that's canon or not, but when you walk to a wall, you can press the interact button and it shifts perspective like 90 degrees. So now you're walking on that wall. It's now the floor.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. It's like the Wallace and Gromit wrong trousers.
Exactly. Although you don't get to change your trousers. You're stuck in them, but it's exactly, that is a deep, deep reference, but it's exactly what it's like. And so now what you were previously walking on is now the wall, and now you're on the floor, this new floor. And so, it really gets very disorienting very quickly.
Does it change perspective?
It does change perspective. So it's not like you're now sideways on the wall. The wall is now the bottom. It's the floor. And so that perspective shift is kind of the whole like main idea of the game. And the approach to level design gets really interesting once you take that into consideration, because you're using like all of the room in all of the levels, and there might be like puzzle aspects in different places. It could be like above you and you have to kind of swap around to get there. And I don't want to spoil too much, because I think it's really one of those, there's a lot of big oh my god moments, but you go through 6 chapters of the game and they keep iterating on that concept of how you can flip perspectives where you are in the environment. And they use it in a lot of really creative ways. So that wall one is just sort of the main big hook that you get at the beginning. But they do kind of find ways to utilize that in other aspects as well. And it is really, really interesting.
So are you just doing puzzles the whole time, or is there any kind of combat and stuff?
It's just puzzles. If I was to say that there's one kind of negative to the game, there are a few sections, I think maybe in 2 of the 6 chapters, there are some like roaming enemies that you kind of have to hide from. And they're fine. I think they fit well into the atmosphere of the game. But if I was to give one negative, I'd say that they are very, very slow. And so there are times where you know what you have to do, but you kind of just, you're stuck there waiting for a minute for them to walk into the right spot. And so I think maybe that's kind of the only times we're sort of like groaning a little bit, because it feels a little trivial to wait. But other than that, it's mostly just, you know, walk around, solve puzzles at your own pace. And this game took about 2 hours to beat start to finish, so we did it in one sitting. But I played with 2 friends, and I would say if I played alone, it definitely would have taken me longer. You need a good sense of spatial awareness to not get totally lost bending the levels around. And I get lost 2 blocks from my house. So that is definitely not a strength I possess. Like, we kind of did the like couch co-op thing of like, okay, I beat the level and pass on to the next person. And I played the second level and maybe like the second last one, and both of them were just like, just coach me through it and I'll do whatever you tell me, because I am totally lost. I'm like, okay, I want to go back to that switch, but I don't know where it is. And they're like, okay, you got to do these like 3 things to get back to where it was. And like
you can solve the puzzles, but you have no idea where they're located.
Exactly.
So you have to, someone has
exactly
to order you, yeah.
When I got to the puzzle section, no problem, but getting back to where like, okay, I've got the item, I have to take it back here, and I'm like, this could take me 20 minutes to figure out. So it is definitely, if you have that kind of like, if you're a very visual person, you can kind of picture the level in your mind and how the physics work and how things get flipped where they would be in relation. That's really going to help you out. If not, at least it's a really pretty game you're going to be wandering around in for maybe 4 hours instead of 2.
Is that a good thing or not?
It's interesting. The perspective flipping, like you were saying, reminds me of Fez. You guys Remember Fez?
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah.
Of Fez?
I've heard of Fez, but I haven't played it, and maybe for the better, considering, at least I need to recruit some buddies to play it with.
I've seen some ridiculous videos about that game and how the perspective flipping is so disorienting, and some of the puzzles are just ridiculously difficult, almost impossible to solve.
That's
without
interesting.
Community. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
I just looked up a screenshot of Fez, and I'm going to say that is not at all what I was expecting to see.
Yeah, it's like the little chibi white character, mm-hmm. and then it's just you're just going around flipping the world and the map around, trying to collect little cubes. That's all you're doing.
Yeah,
interesting. So I was going to say it reminded me a little bit of Maquette, that I played on PS Plus earlier in the year. Like it's not dimension flipping in terms of like side on the roof and stuff, but it's like perspective in terms of you're manipulating if you're growing big or small, so things become like gigantic around you.
Yeah, that's what I thought of Maquette as well, but it's not object focused. Like none of the items you pick up you can manipulate it. It's just the environment and where you are within it. So thinking of Fez, actually, that's a smart comparison. I wouldn't be surprised if they took some inspiration, because I know that was kind of a like influential game, or at least a really unique game at the time when it came out. But I think this game just kind of stands its own, and that 2 to 3 hour mark, I'd say, is pretty perfect. It kind of introduces its new concepts to you, doesn't overstay its welcome, and then just felt like a nice, fresh, fun game you can play in an evening. So I would really highly recommend it to anyone who's into that kind of like, you know, horror adjacent or puzzle games in general. And one other note I just got a shout out for it is the sound design is phenomenal. There's some really like creepy string instruments going on in the background. And when you shift perspective, there's a really good audio accompaniment to that emphasizes that kind of like otherworldly dreamlike state that you're in. Because all of this is kind of taking place in your dreams, and between each level you kind of like go to sleep and you wake up in a new dream in a new place. And I think it really sucked me in for those couple hours, and I would say definitely check this one out.
Honestly, that sounds like a good time. I know that game, actually. I just looked up Dark while you were talking. I didn't know too much about it. I don't think it got great review scores, but the way you're describing it sounds kind of cool. Anyway, Michael, you're a guest on the show here today. You've got to talk about, I'm glad you're here, actually, because you've played a heck of a lot of something that we really know nothing about. So please fill our listeners in on the mystery that is Genshin Impact.
Okay. So it's actually kind of funny because I remember seeing this game. Oh my goodness. It must have been like the middle of summer or before summer in 2020. I just started seeing ads on YouTube and ads on every internet page about this Genshin Impact game. Like, what is this game? And before I picked it up, I thought it was like a Raid Shadow Legends or like a Clash of Clans or one of those silly little mobile games that you just play on your phone and don't really think too much about it. But then I kind of looked it up when I started streaming because I didn't really know what I wanted to play. I didn't have anything set up or anything that I really wanted to do. So I looked up a review on it, and one of the things that I saw was that if you liked Breath of the Wild, then it's highly likely that you're going to enjoy this game. And of course, it does have a heavy, heavy anime influence, which, I mean, it's give or take. But it's not as fan servicey as some other things that I've played. Like, what was it? Xenoblade Chronicles, with Pyra and Mythra. Like, that's about as fan servicey as you can get for like a more North Americanized.
I think it's so fan servicey that when they came to Smash, they actually like censored them for Smash and changed like their outfits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I remember that being kind of like if you have to get censored for Smash, like that's the new like litmus test for fan service.
Yeah, exactly. But so anyways, I picked up this game, which is free, by the way. This game is completely free, and of course, with a free game, it comes with microtransactions or in-game purchases, things that you can buy. But it's got a very unique system. So it's open world like Breath of the Wild. You just are plopped into this world with the traveler or whoever the character is. You get to pick either the male or the female character. The one of them becomes the protagonist and the other one, I don't know what happens with them yet at this point. But you just kind of start going through this world. You make it to the first little town. And then people start joining your party, or you talk to people that you that either recruit you or you recruit them or whatever it is. And each character, you can switch between which one you want to play by pressing the directional buttons on the controller, which make it super easy. There's like a 1 second cooldown or something, so you can't just keep flip-flopping between them. But they all have different play styles. They all focus on different elements. And the way that the game works is that you can chain the elements together while you're attacking. So if you use a fire attack on an enemy and then follow up with like an electric type attack, it'll overload the enemy and it will knock them down and cause them to freeze. Or if you use water and then a fire attack, kind of like in Divinity, Kate, it will make steam or like smoke in the area so that it kind of obscures some of your vision. So it's really cool the way that it works. And then you slowly accumulate like a currency as you go along that you can actually use in the game to try to purchase new characters. So it's not 100% you need to spend money to do this. Mm-hmm. You can actually still do it in game. But I just started playing this game, going through it. People started to come to the streams, started to come watch. I made a couple of friends in the game. Like they come and they play. We play together. They join the game, and it's pretty fun. But it's just something that I never expected to get into, and it's become like sort of my go-to, just sit down, relax, and explore while I stream so I can focus on chat and really just engage with my audience while I play this game. And it's just been, I don't know, it's been kind of everything that I want it to be without it being something I need to pay for or something that I need to put too much effort into.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple questions for you about the way the characters work. So like number one, obviously like some characters are better than others and there's like the rare ones and all that kind of stuff. Is there any elements of like PvP or like pay to win in this, or is it strictly just like your own kind of single player thing? And then the second question I had was when you're switching the characters back and forth, do you get like a renewed health? Do they all have like individual health bars? Are you like able to play as one character until they're almost dead, then just switch and kind of have like an infinite kind of health chain going on, or how does that work?
So as far as I know, the game is strictly PvE. So I don't think there is a PvP aspect to it, but there is co-op, so you can have people join your game and you can do certain quests. I don't think you can do story specific events, but you can do just regular side quests and just regular adventuring with other people. And then every character has an individual health bar. So you can fight with one until they're almost dead or until they die, and then switch. And then you can start using the other characters. But they're best used when you try to combine their elements together. So you use one, and then you inflict a status, and then you switch to another one to kind of double up on that status or to inflict a different status, and then just keep cycling through them to kind of maximize your damage.
It's actually a cool system. I don't think there's ever been a game quite like that before that I can think of, at least anyway. And I mean, I guess part of it's like they want you to buy characters, right? But then, I mean, at least they're using it for an interesting mechanic instead of just being like characters sitting in your roster that would never be used, right?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting the way that it works too. And they release new characters. Like it's only been out for a year, so they're still releasing characters as the life cycle of the game goes on. But then if they have a super popular character that got released, they will cut off the opportunity that you have to get that character, and then they'll wait a little bit and then re-release that character on like a new, it's called a banner. So you can try to spend your currency on trying to pull that character again.
And neat. How many characters are, is it like a lot of characters then, I guess? Like,
I have no idea. I would assume probably less. I'd assume there's probably 30, maybe. Okay. Maybe even more than that.
Okay, because how I was picturing my head is like there's one lightning, like one fire, one ice, but like obviously there's characters like multiple per element then.
Yeah, there's definitely multiple per element. I got like 4 fire characters now.
That sounds like that.
It's just.
You sound like a Pokemon gym trainer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
There's 42 characters.
Fire Tamer. Yeah. 42 characters, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're just releasing more. They just released or re-released a banner for a character that I do actually want to try to get. And actually yesterday when I was streaming, I got just enough or just not enough of the currency to do like a set. So next stream, perhaps that's something that's coming. if I get enough people to show, maybe it'll be like a viewer goal or something. If we get 10 people in the chat or something, then I'll do the poll. But
get in there. You guys gotta get in. If you're listening to this podcast right now, get in the chat. We gotta get these characters for Mike. You can see how desperately this guy wants the characters. Oh, we gotta get him there.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
That element cool, system honestly, is so cool. Like yeah. I will say, like, I had the same weird perception of the game that you said when you started, like it was like gonna be like a Raid Shadow Legends kind of thing. Like, I don't know if it was just some strange marketing that the game had, but it really did seem like kind of like a mobile game. Like when I
came out on phone first, I think, when it came here, because I downloaded it like for like a day on my phone, and I remember playing it with like touch controls and thinking like, wow, I need a controller first of all, and second of all, like, you know, I was under the impression from playing it like right at the start that it was really focused on like the loot box aspect, and like I played something like Fire Emblem Heroes for a long time, and that game is just like not even a game, it's just about the characters, so I deleted it pretty quick. But I feel like after watching Mike's stream and watching like more about this game, there's actually a lot more to it than that, obviously, and so it's pretty interesting how it can kind of fly under the radar in a lot of ways, just for being written off like
that. It's nice to hear the breakdown too, and I think the problem is like a lot of those, especially with the anime art style and MMOs in particular, like a lot of it is so hectic and it's hard to tell what's going on if you don't have a lot of like background information. And so like the attacks are so like big and bold and these like fancy animations, and they're swapping characters so quickly, and it just is a little overwhelming as an audience if you don't really like understand like why they're making those decisions. You could almost think that it's like just kind of like mashy, but it's obviously like there seems like there's a lot of like nice thought going behind it, and like building your team is important, and like the strategy of like when to swap out, that sounds really cool. And I mean, you use the keyword divinity, so that's like gaining it tons of points. And like those elemental things are always cool. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like anytime there's an element focus thing, like divinity, like this game, like Avatar The Last Airbender, like it's always cool as hell whenever there's like an element aspect in a game. And so like it's nice to see when they do a system that's like conscious of how they would interact with each other, because that's kind of like the idea of the elements, is that they coexist in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. It's like the next evolution of like fire is beaten by water. Well, now fire and water can make steam, and it's like the next complication of like mixing those things.
Yeah.
Now that games are kind of going advanced. I had one other question for you actually though, Mike. Like you're mentioning like the size and the scope. Like, is this beatable? Is there like a final boss, or is it kind of one of those like it's meant to be played, you know, over a grand period of time because they want you to keep buying more and more characters?
I would imagine that there's an endpoint. Like, I think when you start the game, you have a certain number of story quests and things that you need to do. And then you can't do any more until you've kind of explored the world a little bit more and you've increased your adventure rank. And you do that by finding new like teleport points or opening chests or doing whatever. But then once you hit that adventure rank, then you can continue and do the next story beat. So as far as I'm concerned, you just keep exploring, and then you unlock the next story quest, and then you keep exploring, and just it seems like it's pretty endless for me right now. Like, I've probably put in, I don't know, 30 hours, maybe even more than that, and it seems like there's so much more to do. And for a free game, what else can you ask for, really? Like, it's keeping it's keeping me entertained, and it's allowing me to create content, so I'm going to keep milking it until it goes away. Like, I don't know.
Hey, as long as you're having fun, man, that's the main thing. That's cool, though. You never know. Like, maybe we'll try it out one day, Kate. Do you think you'll ever break and try out Genshin Impact, or is this just something you're going to avoid?
I think it depends. And my last question for you, Mike, will be, how grindy does it feel? Because that's always my barrier to MMOs. And, you know, I spoke about playing Destiny 2 recently. I've been playing it with some friends, and I'm really enjoying that game. But that is the one aspect I cannot stand. And if it wasn't a social game for me, where it's kind of just like, on Tuesdays, it's Destiny Day, we play, you know, some Destiny, or like, you know, everyone kind of gets together and like plans out a time to play, and I do it very socially. If it wasn't for that aspect, I would have fallen off, because I just hate feeling like I don't have access to like the good content in the game, and I have to like do all this stuff to unlock it, and like Destiny can be really bad for that. And so I know that's the thing that really throws me off of these like service style games. So, and I know some people like that, because it's like, well, infinite content, but I don't like, it's different to have infinite content when it feels like content versus infinite content that feels like you got to unlock it after playing for 2 hours or like 20 hours.
Of course. No, I know what you're saying. And it's kind of interesting the way that the level up system works, because you can level up your character, you can level up your weapons, and then you can also level up like your artifacts or things that will make your character stronger, give them more health or whatever it is. And you only get a very small amount of experience for your character level by defeating enemies. Okay. The rest of the experience you actually get by collecting like tomes. So you collect like lesser tomes or like mid-level or high-level or like very high-level that give you a certain amount of experience. So you can almost by just exploring and opening chests and finding these tomes, you can power level your characters without really needing to grind, like grind in the traditional sense, where the grinding is actually by exploring. So you just explore, you explore the world, you find these items, and the way that you upgrade your weapons is you consume lesser weapons or gems to upgrade the weapon that you want to use, and then you also consume lesser artifacts to upgrade the actual artifact that you want to use. So it just takes away from actually like, okay, I need to go and kill 20,000 of these enemies to get a level up. It's more so like, let me explore the world, I'll see what I can find, and then I'll use that to improve my character or my characters. So it hasn't felt grindy at all.
Wow.
Which is great.
That is a really high praise for the game, because that's usually the pitfall. But that sounds like if they can make it feel very natural and just like you're constantly progressing as you're playing, that is impressive. I've gotten a new respect for this game, and who knows, there is a universe out there where I wouldn't be opposed to trying it.
And you're not alone. Trust me, I'm shocked with how much I've actually enjoyed playing this game. Because Breath of the Wild is like, to compare it to that is really high praise, and it may not be as like aesthetically pleasing, like it doesn't have the super detailed graphics or like the immense environments or whatever that Breath of the Wild has, but it has the world, it has more characters, your weapons don't break, and it's just like you don't need to grind to play it. Like it's just it's to be honest, it's a full package of a game with zero cost. And I can't argue with it. I just can't.
I don't see how you could with that argument being put up. But interesting stuff. You know what? There's a universe where I check this out again. You never know. We'll see. Maybe I'll play with you one game.
Get yourself a faster laptop so it doesn't lag, and then hop in.
This is just the day of calling James out.
Man, right, I just feel attacked. Like I'm the one here. I invite you to the show graciously, and look, I just, not only does Mike attack me here, Kate's already going after me too. Like this is something else.
That's fine. We'll get back to that when I talk about my other games. We'll do that later.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Let me talk about my games though, guys. I got to tell you guys about a couple really good indies here.
Yeah.
That I've been playing, and similar to you, Kate. Like sometimes it's just so nice to play one of those like 2 to 4 hour short little experiences that you can really get through. And I know a lot of people really like Journey for that reason, and like Flower and all those games. And I think I've got two like pretty good contenders for those kind of like echelon of indie stuff. And the first one is Unpacking. So I don't know how much you guys have heard about this game, but this is a game that just came to Game Pass, and I loved Unpacking. Did something happen?
I held up a zero because I've heard nothing about it.
And I held up a one because I've heard a little bit.
I was like, oh, I thought there was a problem. Okay, I'll continue. Oh, no. So Unpacking, this is an indie game where essentially it's like beautiful, one of those beautiful pixel art, graphic style games. The whole thing takes place in different houses that you're moving into. So the first level is like you're a little girl. It comes up, the screen says 1997, and it's just you're in your bedroom and there's a bunch of boxes all over it, and you literally just click the boxes, see what's in them, and put them on the shelves. So you're putting literally everything you would bring with you in a real life move. You're unpacking your different trophies for sports, your clothes, your video game controllers, your books, everything. You're deciding what goes where. And as the levels pretty much lead throughout your life, every time you would move, you move as an older kid, then you're moving in with some roommates, and then you're moving in with your boyfriend, and just kind of how your life, I guess, would escalate. And there's a few different ones in there, which I won't spoil, minor story spoilers. I guess, but it just feels like such a nostalgic game. And I don't know about you guys, but I've moved a few times in my life. Well, Kate, I kind of know about you. but a few times. It's one of those things, like, you know, when you move and you open up a box of stuff that you really, like, it means something to you. You know, like, oh, here's my PlayStation. Like, thank God it made it safe and, like, everything's good. And here's all my stuff. I didn't forget them. I'm not crazy. And it feels good to, like, open those boxes. And the more times you go through the different moves in this girl's life, like the character you're playing, you begin to notice, like, oh, I guess she didn't bring her art supplies along this time. Maybe she's given this up. You're left to infer kind of what's happened, like, over the last few years of her life. And then the same time, there's also some items that she always brings. Like, she's had this stuffed pig animal, and she's brought it with her every single time. So even when I'm later on in the game, like, moving in with other people, it's always sitting on her bed and like, this consistent thing that, like, the story that I told myself about her life. And it's just kind of cool to juxtapose it to, like, the times in your life and, like, what kind of items are sentimental to you and, like, where would you put them when you were to move? And it's just, like, a very heartwarming game that I really think that people will take something away from. I don't know if you guys are interested in playing it or what, but I won't spoil any more story-wise. But what I will say is the game, like, trolls you so much, though. Like, there's two ways you can play it. The first one is you can put things wherever you want. So it's kind of more like the freeform style. You can open up a bathroom in the box in your bathroom and put your toilet paper on your bed if you want to. Like, put it all in random places. It doesn't matter. Whereas the puzzle mode is more like things have generally their specific place where they would go. Like, you would never put your toilet paper not in the bathroom, right? So the game will, like, flag you at the end and tell you to fix these things before it lets you pass the level. But the game trolls you so much. Like, later on, I said you moved in with roommates, and your roommates have already moved in before you. So when you arrive, like, their stuff is already placed. Like, they've got half drawers filled here. Like, half this shelf in the bathroom is covered. Like, where are you going to put your stuff? And you're, like, cramming your things in, like, wherever they will fit, like, in between different things in the kitchen, like, half used drawers, like, half your socks are in there, half are over here. And you're just like, why the hell are these people living so messily when this is nowhere near what I would do? And it's like, it actually made me infuriated to see, like, some of these situations. I just think it's so expertly crafted. And what a unique idea for a game, hey, like, unpacking boxes. Who would have thought of that as being anything that was fun? But it is. And it's a great, great game. I'd recommend to both of you very strongly if you think you can put up with a little bit. I mean, I would say it gets a little repetitive at the end, like, by the time you've packed your clothes into a closet and stuck them all on hangers and done this a few too many times, it's like, oh my God, do I really have to? But overall, it's like, it's very pleasant, very lovely game.
Sounds cathartic.
It is. I would say it is. It's pretty cool. And, like, every time you move too, the thing is the houses get bigger, more grandiose. So you get more stuff. Like, oh, I wonder what she bought this time. Oh, she upgraded her rice cooker. How lovely. This is fantastic. Ooh,
she's doing well. She's got a good rice cooker.
She's doing well. Yeah, yeah. I know. It's cool. The only thing I can say about it, really, like, I didn't like so much, aside from, like, repetition near the end, would be that sometimes the game's logic is just a little bit flawed. Like, I get that, like, the toilet paper in the bathroom, that kind of makes sense. Like, you'd never put that somewhere else. That's kind of stupid. But she also has a journal, and it's like, at the end of the game, the journal always has historically gone on her nightstand with a nice pen next to it. But I thought, you know, I'd like to put this in my desk drawer now. Like, I'm an adult. I just moved in with my partner. I don't really want to keep my journal on my bedside table. But it wouldn't let you move things even to other places that would be logical. Mm-hmm. And so I wish there was just that little bit more flexibility and customization, like, somewhere between the puzzle mode and the free play mode. But I mean, it's a small team making it. It's a relatively small game, so you can only ask for so much, right? And I mean, the fact that it's on Game Pass, I think, is great. More people will play it for sure than I think would have if it was like $20. And I would strongly recommend anyone play it. But unless you guys had any questions about that, I need to say a little bit about The Artful Escape. No,
it's a really pretty game. Yes, okay. Please tell us.
God, The Artful Escape. Okay, I need to say this now. As much as I praised Unpacking, I think it's like one of those. It's good, but it's not like a standout, like, must-play game. Mm-hmm. The Artful Escape to me is legitimately like one of the best stories that I've ever experienced, I think.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys have really ever read the book or heard of the book, The Alchemist.
I've heard of it, but I haven't read it myself.
I've heard of it.
I'm in the same position.
Okay. So I read this book. actually earlier this year called The Alchemist, and it is a fantastic book. And the premise of it essentially is achieving your own personal legend. So the boy in the book starts out as a sheep farmer, but he doesn't want to be a sheep farmer. And it's the story of how he, I guess, trades what he has and moves to different locations and eventually goes to find his personal personal legend, which is like how he is going to be fulfilled in his life. And the story of this game, which I will not spoil at all, is a very similar story to that, about a boy who is your character, and he's born as into a family where his uncle is a very, very famous folk musician in this little town in Colorado. And essentially, he is the next one who's supposed to come and replace his uncle, but he's not interested in folk music. He likes rock music. Good choice,
what a,
kid.
What a rebel, yeah.
What a rebel. And it's essentially the story of how he comes into his own and realizing, like, he has these shoes that everyone around him is expecting to fill, by, you know, taking the place of his uncle, and how he, that's not what he wants for his life, and kind of what he goes through. And the whole thing is told through the lens of this, like, trippy, artistic kind of experience where, I mean, I can't even put into words what happens in this game without sounding absolutely crazy, because it's just, it's just really psychedelic and, like, very out there, and something you would just need to see. And, like, visually and musically and thematically, I think this is an amazing game. And, like, the story itself, like I said, is so close to that book and one of my favorite stories. I think this is a must play on that level. No doubt about it. Like, game of the year caliber story, like, full stop. 100% recommend. What I think brings this game down just a little bit would be the gameplay. I don't think it's meant to be overly engaging. Like, most of the time you're just holding kind of right and running around, or, you know, slight navigation stuff. And then just the playing the music itself is for the boss battles, if you could call them that anyway, is kind of like a game of Simon Says, where you just push different buttons on your controller to play different music. And I get what they were doing. They want to make this game easy, right? So that anyone can come and experience the story and experience this art, piece of art. But at the same time, I found that I would prefer that it would rather be almost entirely a walking sim just to experience the story, because I just didn't find that gameplay very engaging. And, or I would have rather either that, or the puzzles were actually a bit harder to make it feel like, okay, this is the one section where you actually have to have a bit of a challenge. And so, if I was going to nitpick it, that's what I would say. But I mean, this game is, in my opinion, like a must play. And I think it's like a profound message behind it as well.
Yeah, I just actually Googled it on my phone just to kind of see a little bit of what you were talking about with the artistic direction. And you're right. It is phenomenal. It looks fantastic.
Oh, it's crazy.
It looks it's crazy. Beautiful.
It is, it, yeah, beautiful. It's psychedelic, and there's crazy animals and you know, some sci-fi stuff in there. There's light shows. It is very, very unique, is all I will say. But yeah, definitely play it. I think for sure people say this is Game of the Year contender. I mean, you can argue against it in a lot of ways. A lot of these smaller games don't often win, you know, especially one that's not Hades. But for me, like, this is inarguably up there with some of the greats on the year. So check it out.
Is it on Game Pass?
It is on Game Pass. That's how Game I played Pass. It. Yeah. Okay. I think it's on Game Pass. I think it's on everything, but don't quote me on that. You might want to look into it. Maybe it's just PlayStation. Anyway, guys, you know what? I was going to get us ready for the quiz, but my arm has been twisted here and I've been wrangled into 5 minutes of Dark Souls talk. So take it away, Mike and Katie. This is a little podcast within a podcast. Kate, you're the host. Mike, you're the co-host. You got 5 minutes. Go.
Oh my God, that's not enough time. Okay, Dark Souls lightning round. Mike, first of all, we already know Dark Souls is an amazing game. We don't need to convince anyone of that.
Dark Souls is the ultimate game of all time.
Yes, that has been officially stated. And you know what? I think it's warranted, right? How many games have spawned their own genre? You know?
None.
Well,
Metroidvania.
Yeah, but that took two games.
Two games.
That yeah, took two games. Two. Dark Souls did it in one, because we don't talk about Demon Souls, who really did it first.
except for the remaster.
Yes,
actually, one thing to say, just a new game.
I actually agree so much harder with the what did you say, Mike? It was voted the most influential game of all time, was
no,
it?
Or it was voted the ultimate game of all time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree with that a lot more than when IGN puts out the list of like 100 best games of all time and the winner is like Super Mario Brothers. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, sure, that was iconic, but that's not the best game of all time if you compare that now with the shit we play now. Come on. Anyway, back to Dark Souls.
Sorry. Anyway, and then just to say, James, that didn't... Nice try, but we still have 5 minutes. You cutting in there doesn't change that. So
4:30.
So, Mike, please tell us about... you've started a Dark Souls challenge run. You correct. Brave soul. Please tell me about how that works.
Okay, so as soon as I started streaming, I set a goal. I said, as soon as I hit 50 followers, we're going to do a Dark Souls challenge run, a Soul Level 1 challenge run of the first Dark Souls. So, Dark Souls is already hard. We know this. Everybody knows this. Try going through it with no leveling up your character. You're just a basic bitch starting off from the very beginning. And... it's not easy.
It is not easy. Now, so, important question. Are you allowed to wear clothes or are you also naked? Because sometimes...
You are allowed to wear clothes.
Okay.
But there may be portions where I go naked.
No, I guess you have to tune in to find out.
Exactly.
You never know.
Just don't be naked on the stream, just for character.
Well, we could do some hot tub streams. James, do you want some hot tub streams?
Oh, I'm coming over.
Look, Dark Souls is a hard game. You really got to get into the psyche of your character, right? And like whatever helps, right? Whatever lets you beat the Capra demon lets you beat the Capra demon.
That's right. I haven't got there yet, but probably tomorrow. Probably in the next episode, we'll probably get there. It was funny, actually, because I started a few days ago, and everything was fine. I was playing on PS4 for the first time. I was streaming using my PS4, and the setup was horrible. It killed my back. I could only stream for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. And then I tried to move my stuff over to where my usual streaming setup is, but then I couldn't get the audio to work. So playing Dark Souls without leveling and then having no game audio for myself just was a no-go.
Nope.
So
sounds like a nightmare.
It was just terrible. So I ended up actually giving From Software all my money because they deserve it, and bought myself Dark Souls Remastered on Steam. And then this afternoon, I got myself back to exactly where I left off on the stream, and we'll be continuing tomorrow. And I can't wait. I'm so excited to keep on going and see who joins me and see who has the interest in watching me smash my head against Dark Souls for multiple hours at a time.
And that's amazing. How many times have you played Dark Souls previously before this challenge run?
I've probably gone through the original 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
My first playthrough, and then I played again, and then I did a magic build, and then I did like a 100% like get everything, new game plus 3 or whatever it is to get the platinum.
Okay, so you've been around the block a few times, but that's still not easy, right? Like, those challenge runs are incredible, especially when you get to the later half of the game, because you're doing, like, nothing in terms of damage, and you have no constitution. So, like, you basically have to be perfect, and perfect for triple the amount of time you would normally have to play the game for.
Yeah,
that's so what I was going to ask.
We'll see how long this takes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask as like as the layman, right? And the person sitting here that doesn't really understand. I mean, I understand how hard souls are and like the mechanics, but like how much harder is this in comparison to a regular run? Like what is the magnitude that being level 1 affects the game by?
You have probably half as much, if not less than half as much HP as you would have end game. Half as much stamina. You do half as much damage. You can't wear heavy armor because you don't have the stats to keep fast rolling or mid rolling or whatever you want to be doing. There are so many disadvantages, and like your damage is minuscule compared.
So that sounds like a nightmare.
It is.
Oh my god.
It is tough, but that so is
such a cool challenge.
That is the testament to how good a game like Dark Souls is, and like one of the reasons that people love it so much is that it's possible, right? Like think of so many other games. Like if you were to take out leveling or like to intentionally not let yourself get any stronger, you physically wouldn't be able to beat the vast majority of games because you wouldn't have the damage or the health to to mitigate whatever the boss is going to do to you. Like, think of any JRPG and, like, you just get one shot and you die, and yeah, there would be nothing that you could possibly do. But with Dark Souls, like, you have that capability as a player that if you get good enough and if you're able to dodge every attack perfectly, like, that is a possibility. And so that's why it feels so rewarding to do something like this, or even just to beat the game regularly, because you know, like, it was 100%, like, you did it, and you worked really hard, and you got that skill level, and you, like, pressed dodge at the exact perfect time, and you got that parry that got you the kill, and, like, it is amazing.
The best feeling.
Listen, guys, I've been playing Cuphead a little bit, and yeah, I can somewhat relate to that feeling. Like, it feels damn good to down some of those bosses, I'll tell you. Any final words on Dark Souls, y'all, before we move on to the quiz?
Just one, and that's that now that I've actually purchased Dark Souls on PC and also Dark Souls 3, that gives so much opportunity for mods, mm-hmm, and for playing, like, randomizers,
yep,
and... I'm so happy that I was able to find good deals on this stuff, because it's just going to be a well of content, and I'm super excited to get going. And I've always wanted to do a randomizer of Dark Souls, yes, and now I actually get the opportunity to do it.
There was a guy on YouTube I watched recently, and he ran through Dark Souls, and it was every, like, two, it was like, it started out like a longer period of time, and then it got shorter where, like, his, like, whole weapon and, like, build changed, so, like, it got to the point where it was every 3 seconds it would change, so it'd be like swinging an attack and all of a sudden he'd have a different weapon, and it would, like, totally mess him up, and it was amazing.
That's such a cool thing.
Shit.
Yeah,
I can't wait, and I'm just super excited to see where I'm able to take
this is the start of the challenge run. One day you'll be beating it on the Rock Band drum kit, and can't wait to be there.
James, I'll have to borrow your drum kit.
Yeah, come on over whenever you need them, buddy. You come grab the drums.
You know what?
You're gonna do that challenge. Bring them over.
We've got the Donkey Kong, the bongos. Bongo? Yeah, we got the bongos. Mm-hmm. If you want to try that out.
That's ridiculous. There's been some people that I've seen that they've been able to hook up, like, a certain amount of electrodes and stuff, and they played Dark Souls using a banana.
A banana. I have seen that.
I think I saw that online.
A banana.
Oh my God.
That's
James,
ridiculous.
If someone can beat it on a banana, you can beat it with a regular controller.
Look, it's not that I can't beat it. I just can't beat Sekiro. I could beat it. I just don't have the time.
You beat Bloodborne.
Yeah, I like Bloodborne. But I like Bloodborne. I don't know. Whatever, guys. You know what? This is over. We're moving along.
All right. Move on.
It's time for the second part of the show, everybody. And that means it's time for the quiz. Again, like I said at the top of the show, we have no idea what we're being quizzed on this fine evening. So, Kate, I'm just going to turn it over to you. Mike is fair, my competition here. Good luck. Mm-hmm. May the best man win. And winner... I owe you a beer if you win. How about that?
That sounds good. I just have one thing to say before you start. A couple of the previous quizzes, I know that Kate has given you... what was the most recent one? It was like...
Oh.
Really, really bad... Bad reviews of, like,
bad reviews.
Roguelikes. Yes, the bad reviews.
The roguelikes, and it was like Enter the Gungeon, mm-hmm, and Cuphead, and some Contra, like,
wasn't it? Yes. It was Bullet Hells.
It was Bullet Hells.
I got perfect on that one. There was a quiz that James did at the very beginning where it was just like, is this a boss or is it a K-pop band?
That is the best quiz we've ever done.
I got all of those right.
Wow.
All the bosses. I could even name the game that they were from. So you are in for a challenge, my dude.
Okay, well, that's fine. You know what?
And now I'm going to embarrass myself.
Look, I was just going to say, you can come in here and talk all that good shit you want to, man, but you got to beat me first. So we'll see what happens.
All right, let's go.
All right. Well, we will see. You guys are... I'm so excited to have a competitive quiz this time. Of course, everyone, please play along at home as well. And everyone can kick James's ass. That'll be great.
yeah, and if you do, you should send your your quiz questions to circlesandsquarespod@gmail.com. Let us know how you did. And we can see if we can collect a list of how many people can beat me at the quiz. Probably a pretty long list if y'all do that. So we'll see.
Wonderful. So without any further ado, let's begin. As we mentioned earlier in the show, Dark Souls has always been, but now is officially, the winner of the Ultimate Game of the Year award. And that came to us from the Golden Joysticks award show. So I've tailored you guys a fine quiz based on the winners of some of those accolades that were given out. So we've got some quiz questions based off of these games that have been highlighted this year. So
this is a good quiz because we predicted these earlier on another episode, and I don't think I've looked at the winners yet. So
wow, perfect. Then you're gonna learn something. So we're gonna start off pretty simple, nice and easy. We had the winner of the best visual design, and that was Ratchet and Clank: A Rift Apart. So that is a beautiful game. It was boasting vibrant, distinct environments. Please tell me, how many planets do you travel to in the game?
No.
Oh,
I haven't played Ratchet and Clank, so I have no idea.
I've played it, and I have no idea.
How many planets?
How many do you travel to, or how many are there?
How many do you travel to?
Okay, and so
I'm sure there are millions of planets. So yeah, I think what we're going to do is you guys have to be honest, fair sports, and you are going to both confirm when you have an answer, and then we'll just go in order. Mike can give me his answer, and then James can give me his answer. And James, you got to be honest and not change your answer based off of what Mike has said.
I swear on the podcast gods, I will not cheat. Okay. This is a hard question though, Kate, let me tell you. I know, but man, like, that's a hard question. I think I have an answer though.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no clue, but just one number has been kind of like, it's been gnawing at me. So I'm going to say 6 planets.
I was going to say 8.
Oh, okay. You know what's funny is that you said 6. I quizzed someone on this earlier as like a fun test from what I was making, and they also said 6. And 6 was the guess I had when I looked it up. So there's something magic about that number 6.
An inviting number.
It really is. But it's actually 9 planets.
Wow.
So
upside down 6. Wow.
Upside, yeah. That's right. Mike gets a half point for getting correct number upside down.
No, give it to James. He was the closest without going over. Oh.
No.
Is that a point for me or is that a 0?
That is a 0. That's a big fat 0 for both of you guys. But hey, there's always question 2. And question 2.
You
got to know, Mike,
when you come on the Circles and Squares podcast, we're hard markers on this show.
It is cutthroat. You know what? If you, I give half points, but it's got to be an earned half point. But we'll move on. Question 2. This comes from the winner of Nintendo Game of the Year, which was, of course, Metroid Dread. What else would it have been?
Another game that James has played that I haven't played.
Well, yeah, this one might be better for James, unfortunately. But people love to return to form while still bringing innovation to the table. Please tell me which of the following is a new upgrade for Samus in Metroid Dread. Ooh. Is it A, a battle hammer, B, a spider magnet, C, a spacer beam, or D, lightning armor?
Oh my goodness.
James smiling. He knows
James,
this one.
You go first because I have no clue.
Well.
You got to say Mike's ready because you can't give him the answer.
Okay, sure.
Okay, I am ready.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go quite confidently with the spider magnet.
And I was going to say, because I don't know anything about the game and I don't really know what the environments are like, I was just assuming that maybe there was a point where you end up outside and there's like some kind of lightning or electricity. So I was going to say lightning armor.
The lightning armor is cool. I'm disappointed neither of you picked the spacer beam, which like...
That just sounds
so stupid. And they're all real.
Like a K-pop. That's a K-pop band.
That's a K-pop band. Spacer beam. I love it. Is this next quiz? Is this a Metroid upgrade or a K-pop band? no, it is the spider magnet. James, please don't tell me what that does. It sounds horrifying.
I will not. But what I will tell you is Mike's not wrong. There actually is a point in the game that has lightning coming from the sky. So, I mean, closer than you thought.
Is there lightning armor in the game?
There is not.
The lightning armor comes from Samus Returns. I did my research on this one. They're all real. Mm-hmm. But yes, that is a Samus Returns specific upgrade. But don't worry, Mike, there's another chance. We're on to question 3. This was a very highly acclaimed game, apparently. It won Best Audio, PlayStation Game of the Year, and Overall Game of the Year, and this is Resident Evil Village.
Wow, at one game of the year.
It won Game of the Year at Golden Joystick, so that's a hot take. but this game is known for its charismatic and totally capable protagonist, Ethan Winters. Please tell me how many times Ethan's hands have been severed from his body.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I will give you guys a hint. Ethan has appeared in 2 Resident Evil games, and this is over Ethan's career. How many times have his hands been severed?
I'm going to go on the record and say that I have never played any Resident Evil games. I am a Resident Evil virgin.
Mm-hmm.
I have my answer, though.
Okay.
I got my answer, too.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to say 2.
You know what? That's such a weird question. The thing that came to my head was that you're trying to trick us, and I'm going to say 0.
Ooh, Mike's intuitive. The correct answer is 2. He has severed a hand in each of his 2 mainline games, and while that isn't a huge number, that's still more times than you'd want your hand to get chopped off. So,
was it the same hand? Was it the same hand both times, or was it different?
I think it was different hands. I think he's had both of them cut off and reattached. But Ethan Winters canonically throughout the game has just his hands get mutilated in all sorts of horrible ways all the time. But 2 times specifically, they were cut off from his body.
It's 1-1. How many more do we
have? Yeah. What's the how many we got left here?
There are 7 overall questions. I will be kind. Okay. So we're at the halfway mark now. Question 4. This is winner of the best game expansion. And that is a podcast favorite here. Ghost of Tsushima Icky Island.
Oh, nice.
No, I haven't played
it
either.
It's okay, Mike. You are intuitive.
Start playing more games.
Don't worry. This is maybe the last one where James has got the edge here. But of course, Icky Island, PlayStation's last major game of the PS4 era. Fans were thrilled for more content and excuse to return to Japan, try out the PS5 upgrade. Aside from petting animals and getting lost in nature, the main draw of the game is some sweet, sweet samurai sword fighting. Please tell me, what Jin's sword is canonically called?
Oh my god.
Is it bad if I say Kasubimaru? Because that's Sekiro's sword. James would know that, but he doesn't.
James would know that.
I've never heard that before from this game either, Michael.
If Sekiro had come out this year, you can bet that would have been the question. But unfortunately... Fortunately, 2021 is not as good of a year as, I think, 2019? That was
2019,
Sekiro?
Yeah.
You know what? I have absolutely no idea on this. I wish I had a guess. I'm just going to say it's the Sakai Clan Blade. The Sakai Blade or something like that, but I don't think so.
Is there no multiple choice?
No. This is think of the coolest sword name you possibly can.
I am bowing out. I cannot think of the sword name.
Okay, Mike, then new question for you. What would you name your sword if you had one?
What would I name my sword?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, now I'm on the spot. what would I name my sword? Could I just go with something like super generic, like the Uchi Katana from Dark Souls?
Yes, you can, Mike. 20 points, because that's the weapon I use in Dark Souls.
I use that in my first playthrough also.
Yes.
You're not alone.
I used it Demon Souls, Dark Souls 1, 2, 3. It is.
And we come back around full circle, James.
Here we
Ultimate game of the year. Quiz is over. Mike wins.
We can see the disappointment in his face.
Mike wins 5,000 points.
No wonder Mike came in here so confident. You guys set this up from start.
I feel like Dumbledore and like James is Slytherin, who's like actually winning, and then Mike is Gryffindor, and it's like, oh, right at the end.
1,000,000 points.
A million points.
Got to add a few more pounds of grease to my hair and slick it back a little bit more, and then
what is the actual name of Jin Sakai's sword?
Jin Sakai's sword is called the Sakai Storm. Very badass. Very badass name.
Now, to counter Mike's 20-point bonus, was that a half point for me for saying Sakai?
You know what? I feel like you didn't really put a lot of...
I think it's a bit weak.
It's a little bit weak. What I'll do is I'll cancel out Mike's 1,000,000 points, and I'll give you both 0 for this question.
Okay. I will graciously take that deal.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to question 5. And this is the winner of the best storytelling. It was given to Life is Strange 2, True Colors. Now, I haven't played this game or the prequel, but I do know that colors can indeed be strange sometimes. So please tell me what this color swatch at Home Depot is. What color is it? It's called Binary Star. And is it A, gray, B, white, C, yellow, or D, purple? The color is Binary Star.
This isn't about video games.
It's about colors. That's what I think the game's about. It's in the name.
You're not wrong. Right.
I haven't played this.
I gotta guess.
I've got my answer.
Okay, what do you guys think? James.
I'm going to go purple. Purple.
Purple?
I don't know.
And I'm going to go gray.
The correct answer is gray. Well done, Mike. Very intuitive.
Take that, James.
Purple.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I have a fun fact. This was something I learned. Looking at these paint swatches, I have a new favorite color. It is called Practical Tan.
That's right, they're like olive drab.
And
to Impractical Tan.
That's right. And I just love the idea in my mind of someone going to like your local paint store and you're looking through these paint swatches with all the like, you know, like beautiful names like Binary Star and Seashell Cottage Blue, and then you're looking, there's like 300 options and you're like, I'm gonna buy Practical Tan. No,
<goodness. laughs> So, that's like the generic 50-year-old family bathroom color.
It's basically the sign. It's the sign of a fun place to spend your New Year's, that's for sure. Whoever has their house painted like that.
Yeah, you know, nobody's throwing up in that bathroom tonight. No. Not Practical Tan. All right, wonderful. Good work, everyone. Moving on to our penultimate question, I will just give you the score. Mike is in the lead with 2, and James, you only got 1 point, so you really got to catch
stressed.
Up here.
Yeah, I'm getting stressed, especially since the first 3 games I'd played and he hadn't.
Well, this is a hard quiz, but hopefully this one is something that you guys can relate to. This is winner of the best multiplayer game, It Takes Two. This is a game that I think looks amazing. I really want to play it, but I haven't. And so I've looked up nothing about it because I don't want to spoil things. So because I don't want to spoil things, I've learned nothing about the game. So what I did do instead was I've Googled things that take two people. Oh, and I looked at the top 7 results. And one of these 4 things that I will read to you was not in the top 7, and I made it up myself. So you have to identify which is not a legitimate Google top 7, like Family Feud kind of style, but backwards.
Okay.
And so the options are A, a seesaw, B, tennis, C, a tango, or D, a high five.
Can I make a proposition?
Oh my goodness.
Can I make a proposition?
Yes.
This question, instead of just both picking one and guessing the one we think, mm-hmm. we should just take turns guessing, and then whichever one of us finally hits the right one gets a point.
No, I've already got my answer.
Okay.
I don't like
your okay, idea fine. Is good, but unfair to the person who goes first.
It takes okay. two to agree with sure, an sure. idea, and takes... I disagree with your idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, then. Mike, right. You were ready first. What have you got for me?
I'm going to say a seesaw was not in
seesaw
the top 7.
Seesaw was not in the top 7. James.
I'm going to go with the high five because you can high five yourself.
Ooh.
I like the logic.
I think that's really sad, James. But you should give yourself a congratulatory high five because you're correct.
Damn, good work.
Good work. Wonderful. Like,
so I got to high five myself while you guys are busy talking about Dark Souls.
I'll high five the audience.
There you go. Wonderful. Well, this is exciting. Look at the drama. We've made it 2-2 to the final question. And Mike, by the way, seesaw was the first thing that came up on Google.
Really?
So the seesaw is the ultimate two-person activity.
Wow. I haven't heard of anybody talking about seesaws since I was in elementary school.
That is true. But picture a person alone on a seesaw, and that is the saddest thing you can
sad
think
state of.
Of
affairs.
It's as sad as giving yourself a high five.
It really is something James might do. Anyway, question 7 for all the marbles. Now this, oh, of course, what else would it be? It's winner of the ultimate
Elden
game.
Ring. Oh, no,
yeah, I know Elden Ring. But again, we gotta wait till that comes out. But
yeah,
winner of the ultimate game of all time, Dark Souls. 100% deserved. So, in the beginning, the world was gray, shrouded in fog. Nothing changed or lived, and nothing died. The immortal, everlasting dragons held dominion over the land. With the birth of the first flame, the advent of fire, Gwyn discovered a Lord Soul and thus became the Lord of Sunlight. His soul granted him power of the sun and lightning, and which Gwyn used to wage war against the everlasting dragons, ushering in the Age of Fire. Among with his companions, Gwyn named four knights, his most accomplished warriors. Which of the following is not an official knight of Gwyn?
I win.
Is it A, Artorias the Abysswalker, B, Hawkeye Goth, C, Executioner Smo, or D, Dragon Slayer Ornstein? James is sweating.
Yeah, James is sweating here. What's the question one more time? I'm really trying.
So, which of the following is not an official knight of one of... So, Gwyn named four... His most accomplished warriors for his four knights. Like, think of it as, like, four most trusted companions. Yeah, yeah. So, which of the following four is not an official knight of that four?
Do I get an extra point if I name the other one that you didn't name?
Absolutely. You do. You absolutely do.
As if you need
do.
The extra point to win the quiz.
I don't. But James, okay, I'll let you guess first.
Yeah, sure. You can guess first.
Very quickly, Kate, what are the four names again?
There's Artorias the Abysswalker, Hawkeye Goth, Executioner Smo, and Dragon Slayer Ornstein.
Okay, well... number one, I'd like to say that it would really help if I knew who Gwyn was. That's something. But don't tell me. No, that's cheating. It's okay. As far as I know, Hawkeye's a Marvel character, so it's not him. Smo, I believe, is a dragon from
That's
Smog.
Rings. So Smog, again, but yeah. Again, yeah. Smo, yeah. Smog,
not,
yeah.
Not right.
Yeah.
Not right.
So I'm going to go with the Dragon Slayer at the end, because to me, he's the guy I'd want on my team. He sounds the toughest.
Oh, no, so you're picking who's not on the team.
Oh, who's not on the team?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Three of these four are on the team.
Well, I'm going to go with him anyway, because that's my lock-in guess. And if I would like to steal Mike's bonus point, I'm just going to throw a random name out there. I'm going to say the fifth one you didn't name is Solaire.
Oh, are we going to praise the sun for that one?
I mean, we can't. I don't have a lot of space here. But,
okay.
Yeah, you know, we're praise the sun.
We're going to try it.
That's my answer. I tried my best. Michael, please let me know who the real answer is.
So the correct answer is Executioner Smo. He is not a member of the four. The one that is, the last one, is actually Kiaren, who is the King's Blade.
Yes, the royal assassin. Yeah, so. Wonderful. Wow. Lord Blade Kiaren. Yes, Executioner Smo, while he is the royal executioner, he was denied the position for his cruelty and definitely not subtle cannibalism. little shame on his part.
That's a reason.
Dragon Slayer Ornstein is definitely on the team, but he hangs out with Smo, so you were as close as you could be while still getting it wrong.
You know, I do what I can. Congratulations on your victory, Michael.
Yes,
I mean that last one was kind of like an absolute kick in my direction compared to the other ones. But
you know what? Sometimes it's the luck of
the
draw.
One though, I could have had the luck of the draw when Kate knows you're coming on the show, and I know, yeah.
You know what? Okay. I picked these.
At least it was the last question.
It was. And I picked these based off of the games I saw on that list that were recognized. And maybe, James, this is a critique on you not playing these amazing games that you really could have been up till this point. So we'll take that as you will. But congratulations to our guest, Mike, at a 3-2 victory. And congratulations to all of you at home who also beat James in this monument.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Well, thank you, Kate, for making the quiz. Michael, thank you for joining us on the episode today, my friend. Just before we get on out of here, remind people again, where can they find you on the internet?
So you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/MrDelMonster. I also upload all of my VODs onto YouTube. So just type in Mr. Del Monster into YouTube, and you'll see my lovely logo I'm also on Twitter under the same thing, at Mr. Dull Monster. If you want to tweet at me, if you want to recommend some games, or you want to just chat, or whatever. And also, one more thing before I go. It is still November, and at the beginning of the month, I decided to do a pledge for Movember. As you can see, nice mustache here. I've been donating, or I'm planning on doing a bulk donation at the end of the month. $5 for every new follower. It's free to follow. So if you want to support Movember, if you want to support men's health, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and just men's mental health overall, come onto the channel, throw me a follow, and it's going to be money out of my pocket into a great cause. And because this episode's, what day is it coming out? The 29th?
It's going to be on Monday, the 29th, yeah.
So if you guys follow, come into the chat, even if it's in December, come into the chat and say, I listened to the episode of the CNS pod, and that's where I learned about you, and that's why I'm following. I will retroactively donate another $5 to Movember for that follow. So get
amazing.
At it. Support me and support a great cause. And of course, support the CNS pod.
Hey, support it all, man. Congratulations on raising your money as well. Like, I think, what are you up to like now, like $145?
Yeah,
I think,
I'm at $145. So that is 29 new followers in a month, which is just, it's crazy. I never would have expected to get that many, and I couldn't be happier. So thank you, everybody that has followed. You have a special place in my heart.
Oh, look at that. Everyone give Mike a follow, guys. Raise some money for a good cause. Of course, all of his stuff can be found in the description of this episode or down below, wherever you're listening. Of course, so can our stuff. You can find us on Twitter as well, at CNSPod, or at circlesandsquarespod@gmail.com if you'd prefer to get in touch that way. And yes, let me know if you beat me in the quiz. Of course, you can find Kate and I on Twitter as well. Our links are below and everything. Once again, Michael, thank you for joining us on the show. Kate, it's been good to talk to you as always, and we'll be back again next week to talk about the news, and we'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Take care.